And another exclusivity that you run into is the pediatric exclusivity. And this is because most drugs are being tested on adults. And so if there's a, if the FDA finds that they might want to see if this drug can be used for children, they will submit a written request for the NDA holder or the drug, the NDA holder to have a study and a plan to study for children, and this will grant a additional 6-month period on top of either the NCE exclusivity or the orphan drug exclusivity.
Or your patent exclusivity, and that's where a lot of times it kicks in. And the purpose of this exclusivity is to incentivize people to do studies in pediatric populations where it's appropriate. And the reason this can be important is it can affect your timing. So say, for example, there's a patent that's going to expire and you believe it's invalid. Well, if you don't establish that it's invalid or not infringed by final judgment before it expires, then the OD, then the pediatric exclusivity kicks in, and during this exclusivity, your ANDA can't get approved. So even if after the patent expires it's found invalid, you still won't be able to get approval and launch and go to market.
And then the 180-day exclusivity is a little different. This is actually awarded to the first ANDA applicant who submits a substantially complete ANDA with a Paragraph 4 certification. And what it does, it provides 180-day marketing exclusivity commencing on with two triggers: the date that the ANDA applicant begins commercial marketing of the generic drug product, or the date a court enters a judgment finding the patent invalid, unenforceable, or not infringed. And one thing is, there's ways in the way you litigate, you might actually forfeit your 180-day exclusivity. And we don't really want to delve into that. There's a lot of different ways, but you know, you can be forced if somebody else filed an ANDA or somehow you settled and somebody else was able to prove that the drug or that the patents covering the drug was invalid or not infringed, then that might also force you to be able force you to market. And if you're not ready to market, you could end up forfeiting that 180-day exclusivity.
Well, and the reason this is important is that this exclusivity is really to incentivize generic companies to file generics and to try to file them quickly so that we can get generic drugs, which are cheaper by a large shot versus the branded drug, to market. And so a lot of times, because of the way the generic market works, the profit margins are very, very low. And so, but if you're a first filer, that price goes down, but it goes down slower, and also you're the only generic on the market. And so you're allowed to capture, you capture a fair amount of the generic market, and you'll be able to hold on to that market share later. So it's a very, very important exclusivity if we want to keep generic drugs in the market. You have to be careful about this, and this kind of, this whole exclusivity, it's very complicated, and it adds kind of a level of complexity on top of what, you know, is oftentimes a more typical type of patent infringement case.
And so this next slide is just additional terms to know about. We've already talked about the Orange Book. That identifies the drug products approved on the basis of safety and effectiveness and any related patent exclusivity information. We talked about the 30-month stay, which is an automatic stay.
Within 45 days of receiving notice, then you get an automatic notice of a paragraph 4 certification. You get an automatic 30-month stay. This is very important, and this is why a lot of the Hatch-Waxman cases will tend to go a little bit faster than typical if you're in New Jersey or Delaware or other jurisdictions. It's because the courts will look at that 30-month stay date, and they'll try to figure out a schedule that gets you to trial and gives them time to get a decision right around that 30-month stay date, because otherwise they'll have to worry about potentially having to deal with a preliminary injunction. Because a lot of times, if there's not a decision by the 30-month stay, the branded company will march in and try to get a preliminary injunction that's disruptive to the courts. So absent an agreement from a Hatch-Waxman defendant that it won't launch until there's a decision, and usually they won't want to do that, the courts will try to schedule everything so that they get a decision within 30 months.
And another term is parking. And that's when the applicant, the ANDA holder who has 180-day marketing exclusivity, chooses not to market absent a triggering event.
And that's not something that's, it was more of an issue, I think, maybe five years ago or a few years ago than it is now. It's still a concern, but it's not an overwhelming concern. I think going to the next slide, just to move things along, is tentative approval. So when you get final approval, that means you can actually go out and sell. If you have met all the requirements, that's your ANDA should be approved, but there's an exclusivity that's blocking you, or like the 30-month stay, then you'll get tentative approval. And that means that even though your drug is safe, it's effective, it's been established by FDA to be that, you still may not be able to sell. We'll kind of skip, I think, pretty quickly over biologics, because you could spend weeks learning about biologics. It's different pathways. There's an NDA, there's exclusivities that are associated. Those exclusivities, I think, for example, tend to be a little bit longer. I think one of the important things to note is on slide 12 is that on March 23rd, 2020, that is a transition date. And so if you have, there's certain large proteins that aren't large enough to necessarily be a biologic, so people filed for approval for them under the regulatory scheme that we were just talking about as a small molecule. Well, that's going to change. And so to the extent that you have one of those applications pending and it's not approved by March 23rd, 2020, then it will be deemed withdrawn and you'll have to refile again as a biologic. And so that could slow down and affect your time to market, could affect litigations that are ongoing, because those litigations may end up, you know, basically now being moot and you have to start over again. It makes it a lot more complicated. And this primarily affects drugs. I think the biggest drug it probably affects is insulin.